From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Joshua as he brings the next portion of a message called The Folly of Hardening the Heart Against God. The text is chapter 11, verses 1 through 20. Having conquered the cities in the southern part of Canaan, Joshua now turned northward. Jabin, king of Hazor, united some of the kings of the northern cities to fight against the Israelites. That army was equipped with iron chariots designed to terrify the enemy. Yet the Lord told Joshua not to fear them, and in the ensuing battle the Lord gave Israel a great victory. In applying this account to the unsaved, Dr. Cairns is emphasizing the danger of ignoring the plain teaching of God's Word and of hardening one's heart against warnings of impending judgment upon sin. Jabin knew well what the Lord had done in the southern cities, yet he deliberately chose to fight against God and lost. Many a lost person has heard enough of the gospel to know what he ought to do. Like Jabin, many harden their hearts and refuse to repent and come to Christ. Sadly, these people meet the same fate as Jabin, whom God left to his hardened heart and to death. Before Dr. Cairns continues the message, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 7. Thou whom my soul loveth. It is well to be able, without any if or but, to say of the Lord Jesus, Thou whom my soul loveth. Many can only say of Jesus that they hope they love Him, they trust they love Him. But only a poor and shallow experience will be content to stay here. No one ought to give any rest to his spirit till he feels quite sure about a matter of such vital importance. We ought not to be satisfied with a superficial hope that Jesus loves us, and with a bare trust that we love Him. The old saints did not generally speak with buts and ifs and hopes and trusts, but they spoke positively and plainly. I know whom I have believed, said Paul. I know that my Redeemer liveth, said Job. Get positive knowledge of your love of Jesus, and be not satisfied till you can speak of your interest in Him as a reality, which you have made sure by having received the witness of the Holy Spirit and His seal upon your soul by faith. True love to Christ is in every case the Holy Spirit's work, and must be wrought in the heart by Him. He is the efficient cause of it. But the logical reason why we love Jesus lies in Himself. Why do we love Jesus? Because He first loved us. Why do we love Jesus? Because He gave Himself for us. We have life through His death. We have peace through His blood. Though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor. Why do we love Jesus? Because of the excellency of His person. We are filled with a sense of His beauty, an admiration of His charms, a consciousness of His infinite perfection. His greatness, goodness, and loveliness in one resplendent ray combine to enchant the soul till it is so ravished that it exclaims, Yea, He is altogether lovely. Blessed love this, a love which binds the heart with chains more soft than silk, and yet more firm than adamant.
Spirit's quickening palm from the storehouse of His
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
your duty is plain. The path of wisdom is plain. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. The Lord Jesus put it in the simplest and most straightforward of terms when He says, repent and believe the gospel. Turn from the path of your sin. Turn from the ungodly rebellion. Turn from the folly that's leading you to hell. Turn from the way of the wicked. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Come to Him. Take Him at His word. Believe the gospel. Take this book of God and before heaven, earth, and hell, and bear your testimony according to John 3. I set my seal to this. God is true, and I believe Him. That's the thing to do. That's the thing to do. That's the wise thing to do. As I have pointed out, Jabin was known as the wise one. Sadly for him, he did not live up to his name. Because I note, not only that Jabin heard enough to know what to do, but Jabin hardened his heart against all that he heard. He hardened his heart against all that he heard. Nothing moved the heart of this man to repent. Not the message of God's holiness and God's judgment. He heard that, but he remained unmoved. He heard the story of God's mercy, but he remained unmoved. There were times when his own knees, like those of Belshazzar, knocked together in fear and his heart pounded with terror. There were times, I have no doubt, that he could hardly sleep in his bed at night for the fear of the awful fate that threatened him and his people. But even the trembling of his own heart didn't move him. Nothing moved him to repentance. He hardened his heart against all that he heard. What a picture of sinners despising the Word of God. Like Jabin, they are hardened all the more by what they hear. I've seen it. I've lamented it. I've tried to counteract it, and yet I've seen it again and again and again, that people harden their hearts against everything that comes their way. Look at yourself. Is it not a tragedy when the hearing of the Word of God only makes you harder than ever before in your sin? You steel yourself. The law of God is preached. That law that comes with the mighty thunders of Mount Sinai. And yet, you're unmoved. The wrath of God is preached. The burning, awful, terrible reality of a never-ending hell. But you shrug it off. Some of you have even at times trembled under the threat of the judgment of God, but you've never repented. The gospel has been preached. Many's the time that the preacher has brought you up what Bunyan called that place somewhat ascending, the hill called Calvary. You stood with the crowd at the cross. You beheld as the mighty man of sorrows took upon himself the guilt of our sin, stretched himself upon the tree, poured out his soul unto death. But even the gospel that Christ died for our sins and rose again according to the Scriptures has only hardened your heart. Many a time you've been in the place where the Lord has touched your conscience, where the Lord has spoken directly to your soul. There have been times when the voice of tender entreaty has reached your heart. The Son of God has come to you as he did to Jerusalem. And yet, you've hardened your heart. There are young people, and I say this with great sorrow, there are young people who sit here you're still tender in years, but your heart is harder against God than the heart of many a drunkard and drug addict and prostitute walking the streets of downtown Greenville. All that you've ever heard has not softened you, but it has hardened you. Some of you are beginning to find that very often this gets easier as time goes by. It gets easier to harden your heart. At first, your conscience used to bother you a great deal. Some of you can remember times when your heart would give you no peace, thinking that you ought to flee to Christ. But each hardening of your heart has left you less impressionable by the gospel than ever before. Each hardening simply makes you harder. The world of nature gives us a vivid illustration of this. You all know what a sponge is. When you soak it in water, it is such a soft, elastic type of structure. However, as a little particle of silicon or silex settles in a sponge, and then another little silicon particle settles, and yet another, gradually the sponge becomes harder. There's been many a time in what used to be called a natural history class when a professor would set a sponge there and just a series of sponges, each one a little harder than the other, until finally, starting at this end with a soft sponge, this end is pure flint. You can submerge it in water, hot or cold. It will never soften again. How like the hearts of men. How like the hearts of young people and older people who have grown up listening to the gospel. Used to be a struggle to shrug off the claims of Christ and the commands of grace. But it got gradually easier. Be very, very, very careful lest you become like the flint that will never soften again. The softest human heart is sinful and depraved, but still it's true that many who once writhed under conviction now listen utterly unmoved. Be careful. That's what happened to Jabin. He heard enough to know how to be saved. Yet he hardened his heart against all that he had heard. Therefore we find that Jabin was left to his hardness by the Lord. By the time Jabin took the field against Joshua, God had already given him up. He would never be turned. He was like Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Then we read the Lord hardened his heart, which simply means the Lord withdrew every influence that would soften his heart, left him to his chosen hardness without any influence to bring him to any other end. It's what theologians call judicial hardening. It brings up one of the most solemn things in all of Scripture: God giving up sinners. Now the Lord is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He's a God of great patience. He pleads long and often and gives multiplied opportunities to men and women hearing the gospel. You yourselves are living examples and proofs of that. But let me tell you, he often leaves hardened sinners to their chosen hardness. Every time I read Romans 1, I think of those awful words in verse 24, 26, and 28. While the translation is slightly different than verse 28, the Greek text is exactly the same. God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them up three times. Now that's a death sentence. Beware, my friend, about hardening your heart. Let no excuse stand in the way of you coming to Christ. He says, you have heard, you know what your response ought to be. Your duty is to believe your God. Your duty is to believe His Son. Your duty, He says, is come to Me. You know enough to know there is no excuse to remain away from Christ. None. If you harden your heart, beware lest He leave you to the hardness of your heart. That will be for you also a death sentence. Because I want you to notice, finally, that Jabin perished in his hardness.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.